Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of 1 Chronicles with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through 1 Chronicles chapters 25 through 27, where we see David setting up his kingdom for his son Solomon to build the house of the Lord during a time of peace, but also as David nears the end of his life at the age of 70. More on that now. Here's Pastor Dave in 1 Chronicles 25.
Good evening, everyone. If you have a Bible, would you turn it open to 1 Chronicles chapter 25? And God willing, we'll get through a few chapters here together tonight in our journey through God's Word. 1 Chronicles chapter 25. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, you go ahead and raise your hand. And one of our ushers in the back will bring one to you at your seat. We want you to follow along. This is our line-by-line, verse-by-verse study of God's Word. And on Wednesdays, we typically take a big chunk of Scriptures. And especially in a portion like this, you'll want a Bible in front of your eyes so that you don't get lost. And so raise your hand if you didn't bring a Bible. Mike will bring one to you at your seat. We are in 1 Chronicles chapter 25. I'm going to pray, and we'll get right into it. Lord, we thank you for this night. We thank you, God. Just for all of the servants that are here, we thank you, Lord, for the folks opening the doors and the ushers, the greeters, Lord, welcoming in your people. We thank you for the cafe workers, Lord, for the children's ministry workers, for the toddler and nursery room caretakers. God, we thank you for our sound ministry. We thank you for our musicians, our worship leaders, our security team. Lord, we're thankful for your holy word, for your spirit that's going to teach us tonight. God, you've given us so much to be thankful for. We thank you for the heat, and if it gets too warm, God, the fans that kick on. We thank you for the comfortable seats, God. We thank you for the ministries that go on here because of the work of your Spirit. And we look to you tonight to feed us. God, as we saw on Sunday, we remind ourselves again tonight, you are our good and faithful shepherd, and we pray that tonight you would lead us beside still water, green pastures, Lord, and feed our hearts. Lord, some of us are here tonight and we're weary. Some are downtrodden. Some are ready to give up. Lord, some need a word. They're waiting on you tonight for direction. Some need a stirring of your spirit, Lord. Like Michael prayed, God, some need your fire from heaven to fall. Lord, I certainly could use more of your fire. We're all here tonight, Lord, as beggars. And we know that you're the one who has the bread. So we're asking you, Lord, just to even allow crumbs to fall from your table, they would suffice. We love you, Lord. We direct our eyes to you now for this portion of time that you've given to us. Thanks for meeting with us, Lord. And we love you. And it's in Jesus' name all God's people said, amen. David is setting up the kingdom for his son Solomon. He's close to death if he's not 70. He's close to 70. He'll die at 70. His years have been difficult, partly because of his sin. A lot of war under his reigning and ruling. A lot of conquering. Remember, he takes the nation of Israel and he expands it from 6,000 square miles to some 60,000 square miles. So his years were filled with fighting. Remember, he will be told by the Lord. He had already been told by the Lord chronologically that he cannot build the Lord a house. He's a man that has bloody hands. And so because of that, he's setting up his son Solomon, whose name means peace, no takers. He's setting up his son Solomon to be able to really with great ease, build the house of the Lord. And so we continue here in chapter 25, right through chapter 27, with this great instruction that he gives to his boy here as to how everything's supposed to be. Now, please hear me. In chapter 28, I believe, it's going to be told to us that everything that David declares is from the Lord. There's an order from God. Everything, any work of God has order to it. We don't got to wonder. We don't got to question. We don't got to be curious. How church should be conducted then is given by the Lord as it is today. And it parallels heaven. So none of this here is just David, you know, sort of just going on his own thinking or his notions or anything of that sort. This is all divine revelation from the Lord given to him through prophets. Okay, so this isn't like you should say, well, this is boring. I don't want to hear it. This is God's word. As much as Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, as much as Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, or any of those other cherished books are from the Lord, this is God's written, inspired, inerrant word. So we have to esteem it. We have to look at it and say, Lord, what's here for you and I tonight? David says to us here in chapter 25, David and the captains, verse 1, chapter 25 of 1 Chronicles, for those of you just coming in, moreover, David and the captains of the host, they begin now to separate to the service of the sons. First of all, it says a guy named Asaph. How many of you have heard of Asaph before? Would you raise your hand? Okay, if you are a psalm reader, right, then you are quite familiar with him. The psalms or the songs of Asaph. Psalm 50, if my memory serves me correctly, and Psalms 73 through 83 are ascribed to the authorship of Asaph. At least 12 psalms that we know of. He wrote, quite the worship leader, a man of God, inspired by God, filled with God's spirit. Asaph here is on the scene. It says that Asaph is to be involved in this particular work of the ministry. It says in verse 1 of chapter 25, he was a beast of a man. He was a warrior of a man, big muscles. He, man, we're going to see as we move through tonight's text that he was the king's seer. He has a prophetic gift. In fact, in these opening three verses, prophecy is going to be attached to these worship leaders. Listen, this is going to get exciting. I'm not going to be able to stay in this seat for more than another minute or two. At least three times, you count as we move, in these opening three verses, David is handling the worship ministry. He is going to connect those who have the gift of prophecy with those who have the gift of worship. So all you worship leaders that are in here tonight, whether you're a children's ministry worship leader, a youth ministry worship leader, you do it on Friday nights with Dylan's ministry, or you do it in the sanctuary, you should certainly be sort of like lifting your head and opening your ears even more so and leaning into what God has to say of this ministry. You got Asaph, you got Heman, and you got Jeduthun. And it says here, David says, these are guys who should prophesy with harps, not on their harps. Notice that. They should prophesy with their harps or their guitars, with psalteries and with cymbals. And the number of the workmen according to their service was of the sons of Asaph, verse 2, Zachar, verse 2, and Joseph, and Nethaniah, and Asarela, and the sons of Asaph, under the hands of Asaph, here it is for the second time, which prophesied according to the order of the king. It's exactly how you should prophesy. According to the order of the king. Who is the king of all kings? Jesus, right? The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. The spirit of testimony, the work of the gift of prophecy primarily is the giving forth of God's word. Not necessarily or even particularly something that is said that is foretelling, but the forthtelling of God's word. Our songs, our praise, our worship music, number one, if it's going to be filled with the spirit of prophecy, should be including scriptural truths. Well, how do we deem a song a good song? I'll tell you how. If it's filled with God's word. If it's filled with God's word. We don't come in here and get the right to say, I like that song because it's got a catchy jingle to it. I'm not able to pay attention tonight because the worship stunk. Why did the worship stink? I don't know. I don't like any of the songs that were sung. Well, it's not about if we like any of the songs that were sung. The Bible says, God says, the Spirit of the Lord says, David says, that worship should have prophecy a part of it. And what we can know of prophecy is that It's going to have God's word all wrapped in what we're singing. It's a message from God to God's people. Number one, prophecy. When you're singing with this prophetic gift, there should be this message from God to God's people. And then secondly and secondarily to that importance is our message, if you would, back as a whole, as the church, to him. What makes a songwriter in the church gifted? When they can express for us in a way that we can't express for ourselves how we feel as a church towards the Lord, okay? That's what makes a songwriter gifted in the church. When they take lyrics that speak for all of us because it's the Spirit of the Lord that's within all of us that's moving them and stirring them. We got to know these things. We're living in a day and age where there's a lot of prominent, popular, you know, movements in the church, and they come out with a lot of praise music. How do we know if it's good and how do we know if it's bad? Is it giving us scripture? Is it filled with God's word to us? And is it expressing our hearts as the bride of Christ properly back to him? Amen? Hymns are good, aren't they? Hymns are good. Hymns are full of a lot of good doctrine. That's why people love hymns. And for a long time, it was, we got to do hymns, because hymns are full of truth. They're full of a lot of spiritual, biblical truth. And that is true. But we also have to have contemporary praise and worship where we're singing back to the Lord. Where we're okay, Lord, we're receiving from you. There's this prophetic moving of God's Spirit where through the praise team, you're singing over us truth of your word. But now, Lord, we're expressing our hearts in response back to you. Back to you, okay? More so than anything else, that's what it's all about. If you're a worship leader here tonight, you should ask God to give you these types of giftings. We're super interested in your skill. If you're not skillful, you'll be a distraction. So we want you to practice. We want you to develop. We want you to get better. All of us that have any gifts should want to develop our gifts and get better. But more than anything, we want you to be so close to Jesus, because there's a beauty that will radiate through your singing, through your playing, that outshines any natural skill, that is super attractive and super mightily used by the Lord when your heart is contrite and right before him. That little thing that Michael just did at the end there, the Jesus thing, where he was able to change his voice into, and then come back and sound amazing at it and sing to Jesus and then express our hearts are awake and calling out to the Lord to light that again and just a fantasy and a flame in so many of words. That's a very anointed gifting that's accompanying skill, you see. And that's why it was so beautiful and you were blessed. That's why you were able to lift your hands and get lost in it. When a worship leader can get used by the Lord to cause you to be lost in the presence of Jesus, so that when you leave the church and you're saying, man, I was in the presence of Jesus tonight, that's when you know that person's anointed. If all you say is, man, they look so cool and they're up there playing that guitar and they are so skilled, well, then they're drawing perhaps attention to themselves. But when there's an anointing, it supersedes skill. Man, I was thinking about the coronavirus. It's here in Monroe County now. More deaths, the flu, the stock. But then that person started to sing and all I could do is I close my eyes and lift my hands and be in the presence of the Lord. You see what I'm trying to say? That's the gifting of God's Spirit. That's what we need here. That's what we want to develop. That's what Daniel's seeking to develop as our worship leader. Different teams, you guys are getting different opportunities. He wants to see that. That's my heart. That's his heart. It's our leadership's heart. We want to see worship leaders who genuinely want to worship, not be worshiped. So David says, hey, we got to have guys who are anointed. They're gifted. They understand that they have to get with the Lord so they can give us the Lord's heart. Go read. That's it. I can't sit anymore. Go read Asaph Psalms. Go read Psalm 50 tonight. Go read Psalm 73 through 83. These are men who got with the Lord and they received from the Lord. You can't give from the Lord that which you don't receive from the Lord. It's the same as you guys who want to be Bible teachers. It's the same for me. You got to go get with the Lord so that you can receive from the Lord and then give what the Lord gives to you to bless people. What you got's going to run dry. What I got's going to run dry. We got to receive from the Lord so that we can give what we received to other people and bless them too. You got to receive from the Lord and then express for God's people how we all feel back to him. And the only way you can do that, tonight's light, it's a Wednesday. It's not light for a Wednesday, but it's light comparatively to our services. A few hundred people in the room. The only way that I can, if you're filled with the Spirit tonight, the only way that I can, for all of you, speak on your behalf as a songwriter to the Lord is if I'm filled with the same Spirit that you're filled with. But if I am, I can. And I can come in here and say, hey guys, check this new song out that I wrote for us as a church to sing. And I can close my eyes with confidence. I'm not going to make a fool out of myself. And I'm going to sing to the Lord, and I'm going to sing to him what the Spirit that's in you, that's also in me, has given me, and you're going to have a bearing of witness within you. You say, oh my gosh, if I knew how to write a song, or if I could write, if I had the skill to, that's how I would write it. That's exactly how I feel too. Amen? Let's keep moving. So these are guys that David raises up. It says in verse 4 of Heman, the sons of Heman, this is important. So many pastors skip it. Watch this. Of Heman, the sons of Heman, Bukiah, Mattaniah, Uziel, Shibeo, and Jeremoth, and Hananiah, and Hannah, and Eliathiah, and Jongadi, and Rumatai, Ezer, and Jehoshba, and Melhathi, and Hether, and Mahaziath. All these, verse 5, were the sons of Heman. Okay? The king's seer. He's a prophet. He's a worship leader, and he's a prophet to the king. In the words of God. Why? To lift up the horn. And God gave to He-Man, notice this, moms and dads, who you're ready to give your kids away, God gave them to you. That might be the only reason why the Holy Spirit brought you here tonight. He meets us, so we're not even talking about that, but that's how the Holy Spirit works. Some of you are exasperated, your kid's difficult for you. They're so much like you that you can't figure out how to deal with them because they're driving you so crazy. And you just need to know this. The Lord handpicked you and handpicked them for you to be a steward over. He chose you to be their parents and them to be your children. God gave He-Man, it's a good way of looking at our seeds. They're from God. 14 sons and 3 daughters. Imagine how hard it would have been for those 3 daughters to date. You got He-Man as a father, number one, and then you got 11, you know, brothers at least that we know of. Now notice what it says here in verse 6. All these were under the hands of their father, or the authority of their father, for songs in the house of the Lord, with cymbals and psalteries and harps, for the service of the house of God, according to the king's order of Asaph, Jeduthun, and He-Man. So the number of them with their brethren that were instructed in the songs of the Lord, even all that were cunning, was 288. Now listen, any dads that are in here tonight, okay, any fathers that are streaming in and listening to this message, or will check it on the archive or hear it on the radio in some years from now, all fathers are a conductor of sorts. And that is of our households. There's this responsibility that we have. As dads, you want to be the man of the house, you want to be the man in your marriage, well then, kudos to you, because there's this responsibility that we bear that is quite heavy, in that we are to be conductors of godliness and instilling the principles of God's word to those who fall under our tutelage or our care or our influence. It's to the fathers first. All the fathers in this room tonight, you're the high priest of the home. And if you say, well, my kids are grown, well, that's not like an excuse for you to, you're out of this. That actually means probably they have the children of their own, and now you have grandchildren, so you have an even more responsibility. You are the patriarch of your family. You are the leader of the ways of the Lord. God's called you to be that. Here he's got 14 kids, man, and they're all serving the Lord with similar gifts to how he served the Lord. I'm downstairs this morning reading my Bible. First thing I do every single day before I leave the house. I have to. And as I'm down there and I'm reading, my oldest comes down. She's got her Bible in her hand. She's got her phone in her hand. She puts her phone down. She opens her Bible up, and she just begins to read. I see her close her eyes and pray. I watch her open her eyes and read. I see her close her eyes and pray. I see her open her eyes and read. And I just start thanking the Lord. Start thanking the Lord, because I believe she's going to be a Bible teacher. She's got insight and wisdom that is way beyond her years. And that's what we want to see as moms and dads. We want to influence them, and more is caught than taught. So it's not always chirping. It's not always grilling them and putting our fingers in their face. It's showing them. It's leading them by example. He-Man's a worship leader, so guess what? His kids are worship leaders. And that is a thing that I believe is how the Lord works, man. He raises families up. He raises up husbands and wives and children with similar giftings. There's just anointings of God upon families. He loves to raise up families. We see it with the Latrell girls singing the Lord, the Bash and Latrell. Don't want to disrespect anybody. You know, you see this with families. We see it with the Foster family and Tommaso family. You see it with different families. The Megans, you got different family members that are up here. There's just this calling of God in a way where there's this sweet harmony that the Lord can use them, you know. So just important to note these things. These are biblical things. Church gets weird. People start to get weird. Why is all that family in that ministry? Because God uses families. It's not even like a thing of what do you think? Who cares what anybody thinks? God says this is how it works. So let's just settle issues through going through the Bible, okay? Please. It will save us a lot of posting and trashing and backbiting. Just look what the Bible says. There's a book that we as fathers are to be conducting our houses with too. It's the Word of God. And these guys all cast lots, verse 8, ward against ward. That literally means responsibility against responsibility, as well as the small as the great, as teacher and the scholar, everybody. Like, nobody's exempt from this, David says. The first lot came forward to Asaph. And then it says in verse 10, if that's the first, where's the second? Oh, it's in verse 9. The second to Gedaliah. The third, verse 10, to Zachor. Verse 11, the fourth to Izri. Verse 12, the fifth to Nethaniah. Verse 13, the sixth to Bukiah. Verse 14, the seventh to Jeshurella. Verse 15, the eighth to Jeshahiah. 16, the ninth to Mattaniah. Verse 17, the tenth to Shimei. Verse 18, the 11th to Azareel. Verse 19, the 12th of Hashabiah. And you were wondering, like, yeah, how would you sit down teaching this? This is exciting. Verse 20, the 13th to Shubiel. Verse 21, the 14th to Mattathiah. Verse 22, the 15th to Jeremoth. Verse 23, the 16th to Hananiah. Verse 24, the 17th to Joshbekasha. Verse 25, I'd like to see you do better. The 18th to Hananiah. Verse 26, the 19th to Melthai. Verse 27, the 20th to Eliatha. Verse 28, the 1 and 20th. And that, it's like if things weren't hard enough, now we're saying numbers like that. The 1 and 20th to Hophir. Verse 29, the 2 and 20th to Jeladi. Verse 30, the 3 and 20th to Mahaziah. And verse 31, the 4 and 20th to Ramathiazar.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.